numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, Wyatt Tomchek remains in for Kelly Bidlin. Good morning to you, Wyatt. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Gil. I was awoken from my beautiful slumber to like five texts in a row from everyone. I was like, something's not right today.
Yeah, and your slumber is beautiful. Don't let anybody tell you any differently.
My mom are the only people to say that.
Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, getting the COVID. So, by the way, for 1.5 seconds after I said that now, people were very sympathetic to Kelly Bidlin. But what this means is that there will be no eggnog challenge tomorrow. So I know that that's really the ultimate sentiment. We love our Kelly, and Kelly will be fine with the COVID. But I spoke with him yesterday, and I'm like, you sound terrible. And he shouted out an expletive because he thought he could get away with it. He was like, really? Oh, I thought you wouldn't have noticed. I was like, no, dude, you're terrible. And he ended up testing positive for COVID. So we hope Kelly gets better soon. But yeah, the $400 hour and 25-minute half a gallon eggnog challenge is going to go by the wayside tomorrow.
Do we want to volunteer Sean as a backup?
It's not the same if it's not Kelly.
Darn.
And then I don't know if it's the same once he gets back, however long it'll take for him to get back, because then it'll be past New Year's and it seems kind of odd.
Eggnog's
at that point.
Eggnog.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe it might cure the voice.
Might cure the voice. All right, so we wish Kelly the best on the show today. Dr. Bob will join us. He'll be with us tomorrow, too, but he'll talk bowls with us today, what he's thinking about with the trio of bowl games today and beyond. Also going to have Todd Wishnev in studio just before the Megapod today with Joe Fortenbaugh, which we record right after the show, the Beating the Book podcast, our weekly Week 17 look specifically this week into the NFL with Jeff Parlay, Todd Wishnev, and Fortenbaugh today. Todd will join us in studio. He'll talk about his the weight loss challenge aftermath and the struggles with that, his thoughts on the National Football League as well. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports to talk NFL with us as well. Jake Hahn making an appearance. A little NHL check-in because we haven't done that in a while. We'll do that. And Bill Krakenberger. Typically, it's unscripted with the crack for an hour with the crack man, but it's going to be for one segment because he is a remote today. So one segment with the crack man. I want to start today with a few things, and this will crescendo into me getting somewhat angry. Just want to point this out, why. Not really angry, but like betting angry. First of all, National Football League, while we were on yesterday, Wyatt and I, doing a numbers game, we got the Tua news. The official word is that Tua is unlikely to play for the Dolphins this week. As you know, this was 24 hours ago. Unlikely really sounds like no, he's not playing. It will be Teddy Bridgewater. And that line, Patriots -3, moving a tick on that. The real news that came down afterwards, also quarterback-related news, right after the show yesterday, Derek Carr and the Raiders coming to an understanding. The Raiders benching Derek Carr for the remainder of the National Football League season, the last two games. They're going to start Jarrett Stidham. And so, you know, a lot of people sort of saying, well, we could have seen that coming. You know, they got to find out what they have. They got to move on from Derek Carr. The real reason is financial. They can't afford to have Derek Carr get hurt, because if he does, it could cost them $33 million if he fails to pass a physical next year. So this is sort of like, if you remember the Washington football team in the last year of RG3. Like, we also said that, by the way, this year about the Indianapolis Colts, when they went away from Matt Ryan the first time, we're like, well, we'll never see Matt Ryan on the field again because he will cost the Colts an inordinate amount of money if he fails the physical next year. And then, of course, Irsay and Jeff Saturday did the whole about face, and all of a sudden we did see Matt Ryan. But anyway, this is the reason for the benching of Derek Carr. And by the way, Derek Carr has taken his toys and gone home, apparently, which they're calling officially, well, he doesn't want to be a distraction. So Niners now a 10-point favorite in that game. If you got ahead of that, good on you. That was the quarterback news of yesterday. As far as today's game is concerned, and again, we are in the squirrely time of year. Usually we reserve that word for the last week of the year. But Amazon, after a year of just really unriveting football games, now gets the Cowboys and the Titans. And let's just go through the laundry list. I mean, this has gotten to 12.5 on the Cowboys for so many reasons. And here are just by name, the Titans have ruled out a slew of players. Jeffrey Simmons, their defensive tackle, is among a group of four defensive starters who were ruled out of this game. Bud Dupree, of course, Amani Hooker, Zach Cunningham, Danico Autry is doubtful. Doubtful often a euphemism for being out, which is what you could say about Derrick Henry, who was listed as doubtful. I will sit here and tell you, he ain't playing. That's what that means to me. You have right tackle Nicolas Petitfrère. That's French, by the way, Wyatt. Of course, Ryan Tannehill, you know they're out. The right tackle, starting right tackle, Petitfrère is out. And then it comes down to the story of, okay, well, you know, we talked to Pritch yesterday on the show, and Pritch made a really good case for, well, the Titans need to see what they have in Malik Willis heading into next week's meaningful game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is the de facto AFC South championship game. Because the Titans, the outcome of this game tonight has no bearing on it whatsoever. I hear Pritch's point about that. On the other hand, with your starting right tackle out and Derrick Henry out, I wonder if Mike Vrabel even wants to subject Malik Willis to this tonight. And will it be Josh Dobbs in the lineup as a result? I'm kind of leaning towards the latter. So I'm not seeing any Malik Willis or any Titans props, and books are smart and they know, well, let's wait on this because it might not be Malik Willis. But if you have them, if your instinct is to bet Malik Willis overs, I would sort of push back on that instinct. I'd be a little worried about that. Again, if this game was in the midst of a window of early Sunday games, I would not touch it at all. It's a standalone, so your instinct, of course, because it's standalone, is to bet it. If I'm betting anything tonight, and I have, I bet the Cowboys first half at -7. I did bet a Titans team total under at 14. I don't like that as much, because even that, you wonder about the Cowboys tonight. If they get out to a big lead, how much do they play their players? The Cowboys do have something to play for. They are still technically alive for the NFC East title. So they are incentivized to win for sure. But if they get out to a big lead, do they start sitting players? And then, you know, the other instinct was, hey, maybe some Micah Parsons props. Well, Micah Parsons' dog died. So I don't know what the story is with Micah Parsons tonight, physically or mentally. Physical presence-wise, physically, and then mentally, just in terms of his state of mind for this game. So it's squirrely. Again, the two bets I do have are the Cowboys first half at -7 and the Titans team total under at 14. But I'm not touching the full game line. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, if this is, again, I just wouldn't go crazy with a game like this. Now, here's where I get sort of a little angry, Wyatt. And when I'm angry, I mean in the betting context. So one of the things that I have really tried not to do with this show over the years, and I think I've done pretty well on this, is if I have a bad beat, I don't really talk about it that much, because bad beats happen. If you bet enough, they're going to happen all the time. I do talk about the 2014 Bahamas Bowl as the pinnacle of bad beats. I know people like to, in the gambling community, talk about the Belk Bowl right around that time, where, oh, the Belk Bowl in Duke. Yeah, the Bahamas Bowl blows that away. The Bahamas Bowl of 2014, I had Western Kentucky. They were up 49-14 heading into the fourth quarter, -2.5. And Central Michigan outscored them 34-0 in the fourth quarter. The last play began with 1 second left, a pitchy, pitchy woo-woo to the house. And then they decided not to kick the extra point, which would have given Western Kentucky backers like myself a chance to win in overtime. Of course, they went for two and they failed. Anyway, that's the worst beat of all time. This was not that yesterday. However, that one was almost funny. When you lost that one in 2014, you're sort of like, oh my God, what a story this makes. I can't believe I lost money, but at least it's so ridiculous, it's humorous. Yesterday's Arkansas-Kansas game, and Wyatt, you were on Kansas, you were among the slew of everyone who had Kansas?
Yep, me, Hicks, Isaiah downstairs, everybody was loving the Jayhawks.
Everybody on the network, everybody guessed, everybody had Kansas. Your boy had Arkansas, and I had Arkansas, not at the close. By the way, the close is -1.5, but that was like for a minute and a half before the game. Not a minute and a half, literally, but about 5% of bettors might have gotten that, and I'm being kind. Most of us had Arkansas -2.5, and let's just put it this way. I don't think I've ever been angrier after a loss, and in case you missed it, and I will just say this. If you are a Kansas backer, I don't want to hear you complaining about a bad beat for at least another year. You've got about a year window where you're not allowed to talk about bad beats, because this was so ridiculously fortunate. And for those of us who had Arkansas, we will not soon forget this. Arkansas up 15 points with under 3 minutes left in the game, and Kansas had no timeouts left. And Arkansas throws a pass. It's caught. Receiver comes to the ground. hits the ground with his elbow, ball bounces out. It's ruled a fumble on the field. Replay clearly shows that the ground caused this fumble. Clearly. I know Dan Mullen was trying to dansplain to us that maybe it wouldn't be enough to overcome to overturn. I thought that was complete nonsense. Nothing could have been clearer than this. So they give the ball to Kansas. And of course, at that point, you know they're going to come down and score at least once, which they do. Cut the lead to one score, to an eight-point game. And then the onside kick from hell, which here's where I just sort of, you're like, does Arkansas know that you're supposed to actually, how do I put this, recover the onside kick as opposed to just block the other players? They had no interest in recovering the football. Kansas recovers it. Of course they score again. Of course they get the two. And we go into overtime. Oh, by the way, before we get to overtime, Arkansas had the ball. This is the most ridiculous part of this game. Arkansas has the ball on their final possession with all three of their timeouts. And it was as if they had no awareness of what the score was. I was like, you guys realize you can kick a field goal and win this game now. No. They were like, we'll use the first timeout with, you know, mere seconds left in the game. They were running plays. They weren't passing the ball down. It was the weirdest. I'm like, what am I watching? And, of course, it goes to overtime. And at one point, Arkansas was up eight. But you knew at that point on the second overtime that if Kansas got even the six, it was over for Arkansas minus 2.5 bettors, because then it became a two-point conversion contest after that. Arkansas ends up winning by two, which is probably the insult-to-injury part of it. They do get the win, but, of course, only by two. That replay was ridiculous. Please, if someone disagrees with me on Twitter, please tell me at Beating the Book. Coming back, Eric Eager on the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book. One correction, Dog Days, yes, he's right. Not a pass that was fumbled, even worse, a reverse handoff in the backfield to a receiver. Point remains the same about Arkansas. Good God. This is from I've Begun to Gather My Things. That is his Twitter handle. I've Begun to Gather My Things. He goes, Kansas versus Arkansas. He said, not as bad as Jets versus Browns early in the NFL season. It's very bad, no doubt. But Jets-Browns was, I'm finished betting the NFL the rest of the season because nothing matters bad. You are correct. And as a matter of fact, last night I said to anyone who was around me listening, I go, that will take me away from betting college football for at least 17 hours or so. Like I was livid, absolutely livid with that game last night. Let's see here. Scott, New York Mets 16. Gil, I feel your pain as you lament the Arkansas-Kansas game, but am I still allowed to trump you with the Saints money line and the Colts money line within a span of 12 days? Yeah, that was a back-to-back horrific thing that happened in the NFL to anyone who had both of those to one of you, let alone both, but he had both. Real quick, college football. Arkansas did get the win, which I know Kelly is out. Again, if you missed it, Kelly has COVID. But Kelly and I did this thing before bowl season where we decided, because Kelly doesn't know anything about anything, and we're like, I'll tell you what, we're just going to pick. This was Kelly's idea, because he couldn't guess lines anymore because the lines were out. We're just going to pick the winners of all the games, and basically it was to see if Kelly could still, if he could somehow beat me in this, and he doesn't know anything about anything. And currently, here is the updated numbers. We're tied, baby, 15 and 10 each in terms of just picking winners here from before bowl season. I trust I will be ahead of him by the end, but who knows? Who knows?
You going to double down with this eggnog bet?
What you mean?
I just had a little bit more money, you know. Actually, I don't know what I mean on that.
Okay, that's right. Why don't you spitball that with yourself, and we'll get back to that. By the way, I was talking about how with the first half, I have the Cowboys at minus 7 tonight, and Steve Fezzik has chimed in, and he has a suggestion as well. He says, if you can find Dallas first half at minus 6.5, minus 122, which more minus 125, by the way, you can. DraftKings has minus 6.5 on Dallas first half. He said, play that now, play it back 7.5 at post. He believes that's where it will get. And then, of course, you'll have the key number 7 as a middle. So that's absolutely a great suggestion. Eric Eager joins us now from Sumer Sports. Always great to check in with Eric. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Bowl season's actually been pretty decent for me, but I will say I was on Arkansas -2.5, so that one stung a little bit.
That is exactly how my bowl season has gone. And by the way, I've had bowl seasons like this before, where it's like it's just going swimmingly well, and then all of a sudden some calamity happens to you. That one yesterday, and I didn't even do it justice, like I kind of downplayed it, but I was legit angry last night, and I never get that way about any bet. But that replay that didn't reverse, I'm like, are we? By the way, there's other plays in that game where the receiver on Kansas would get 9 yards on a 2nd and 10 or whatever. They're like, sure, first down. Let's just move the sticks. College bowls, man. Anyway, I could go on, but I won't bore you.
Yeah, I mean, even calling the, you know, if you had money line, you won, but you sweated out a little bit more because they called it targeting on the last play. It should have been the last play of the game as well. So it was just an absolute privilege from A to Z, especially if you were like me and you played college DFS and like you thought that the Carolina Oregon game was going to be the big scoring game, and it ended up being this Kansas game for no reason. Like that was tilting as well.
Right. And people who had the total, right? People who had the under, that was terrible for them as well. Like the way it went is the whole thing. We were due. If you have 40 plus bowl games, one of them is going to be, you're due for shenanigans like that. All right. Let's talk about tonight's game real quick before we get to your other week 17 thoughts and beyond. And I sort of talked about it last segment, which is, hey, look, I mean, as squirrely as we already knew this game was going to be because the Titans really don't have anything to play for tonight, now with all the Titan absences tonight, and I think it may even extend to Malik Willis, quite frankly, that's just my opinion, I don't know how you bet a full game line here because then the Cowboys might ratchet it back. The only bet I have is the Titans first half and the Titans team, excuse me, the Cowboys first half, pardon me, and the Titans team total under. Even that one I'm a little worried about. How are you playing this at all in any way? Would you?
Yeah, I like the Willis under rushing yards. I think that's kind of a square thing. I saw it on, you know, Underdog at 43. It's other places, you know, kind of in the low 40s, and he did get that number last week. But to your point, I don't know if they, like, play him the whole game. And if they do they run him the way that they kind of want to in a real game, given that this game is not, you know, meaningful for them at all. I also like Prescott under interceptions under a half. I just don't think Dallas is going to throw enough for him to make a mistake. And I also think his mistakes have cost them enough over the past few weeks for them to be a little bit more cautious with him throwing the football. So those are two props I like. Otherwise, I mean, look, if you laid it with Dallas, you know, it was like, you know, fairly early on in the process, -5 on the look ahead, you're in a good place. But other than that, I don't really think this game is that appealing from a betting perspective because, you know, and it's basically a week 18 game in week 17.
I'm sure Al Michaels will be a delight tonight with all his commentary. I'm sure he'll just be thrilled. Bubbles.
Well, the best part about Al is, you know, within the first minute or two of the game, which side he's on. You could just tell it from his voice. Having worked with Collinsworth for so long and working on that broadcast, you know, he would just give it away during commercials and stuff for us. But even when I'm watching him now, you can totally hear, oh, you know, Al's on the Eagles -14 tonight against the Texans. You can tell immediately.
Yeah, because there was one, oh, I don't know which comeback it was that was just the amazing comeback. I want to say it was a Brady comeback where he did not live up to the moment at all. Right. Or maybe it was the Rams comeback, I believe, where I'm just like, why is he so muted about this? Oh, I remember why he's muted, because he's Al Michaels. And
it's funny. There's a game from like 01 that I went back and watched on YouTube, and he totally referenced the spread. It was like one of those games where the underdog was covering and then they had a sack fumble and the favorite ended up covering like -9.5 or something like that. And he was like, oh, that means a lot to a lot of people. You know, he's been this way forever.
That part we certainly know from him for sure. But to me, it sort of seeps into his whole energy. What do you like best week 17 beyond tonight into Sunday?
Yeah, this is one where I think the markets have kind of, overcorrected way too much. Like I don't think the Vikings should be more than a field goal underdog in this game against Green Bay. Green Bay has won, you know, obviously 3 consecutive games. But, you know, the wins are against Chicago. Then they had a bye, then a bad Rams team, and then a Miami team that, you know, their quarterback had a concussion, you know, after they fell down by more than 10 points. I just don't think the Packers are that impressive. The Vikings clearly want to win these games because I think in the NFC, being the 2 seed is better than being the 3 seed. And if they win out, they can keep San Francisco at bay there. You know, so I like that, you know, that aspect of it as well. I just think the Vikings getting 3.5 years way too many. So that's my favorite bet of the week, is Minnesota +3.5, open 4 against Green Bay on the road.
I agree with that. When we did guessing lines, I'm like, you know, and again, the entire media all weekend, I was so desirous of getting the Packers into the playoffs. And one wonders if that seeps into to the betting market mentality here on this, because I agree with you. That's a tick too high at the very least. What about what you didn't mention there was Carolina and Tampa Bay, which I thought, again, and I've thought this about almost every Tampa Bay line all year long, was way too much in favor of the Bucs. And even at 3, where it's settled in now, I don't know. I've watched football this year as much as any human being, and my eyes tell me the Panthers are just a better football team than the Buccaneers every which way. What am I missing here?
I think the only thing you're missing is the fact that Brady, you know, when it has gotten to, you know, times when it matters, right? You know, you know, down by 2 scores to, you know, the Rams, down by 2 scores to, you know, the Saints, down by 2 scores to Arizona. Like, ultimately, something takes over there where, it goes from Leftwich calling the plays to Brady. I don't know what it is, but it does seem like, you know, betting on Tampa Bay to cover big numbers all year has been a horrendous gamble for anybody. But I do think betting on them to win, if you can get 3.5, and I do see some -120s at 3.5 in the marketplace, you should absolutely take Carolina. I thought that the look ahead at being like 7 was an egregious, absolutely egregious number. But right now, like, I wouldn't bet money line on the Panthers. I probably would just take them with a expensive 3.5, knowing that Tampa Bay does just mess around a lot. Now, the Carolina Panthers got away with a very good, you know, game against Detroit running the football. The Bucs are not a team that's easy to run the football against.
Before we get to break here, just real quick, like, just taking this one game aside, but if I'm just asking you, I'm giving you truth serum, and like, who would you rather play? Who would you rather travel to if you're another NFC East team? Specifically, the Cowboys are probably the most likely, right? Would you rather go and play at Tampa, or would you rather go play at Carolina? Does the Brady factor trump the obvious answer being Carolina? Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah, I think Brady trumps it. I don't think the Panthers are that good.
Wow, okay. I don't know. Watching a different Buccaneers football team than everybody else, I think. I understand the Brady point, but I'm not counting on that. We'll come back more with Eric Eager, his other Week 17 thoughts, and playoff thoughts as well, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here. Oh, don't I know it. VSiN has you covered. We have picks, spreads, and totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage. While you're there, now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. For only $79, you get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Everybody chiming in on this Kansas-Arkansas game. Jeff Kuykendall. Gil, I also had Arkansas -2.5. All fourth quarter, Arkansas kept snapping the ball. Yes, this too. With close to 20 seconds left on the play clock, had they snapped it with 5 seconds, which you're supposed to do when leading by 3 scores, there wouldn't have been time left for the onside kick. Preach. Rockette Morton. Why does the UCF Duke game get a expedited review, but no such review on the Kansas fumble, not fumble? Totally agree. Sure, let's move on. I almost felt like because Kobe Bryant got hurt on the return, they were like, just give him the ball. Bruce Dobigan, as the Liberty Bowl proves, there's no tougher lead to defend than a 25-point lead with 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Murphy, 12-800. Gil, loved the show, and yes, that Kansas game was bad, but sometimes you get lucky. I had Arkansas money line and Kansas +2.5. Crazy. Good for you. Logic 3227. I took Arkansas team total over 47.5 in game. When that game ended, I told myself I can't complain about any bad beats for a while because I had no business winning that bet. Thank you, Logic. I appreciate that. That's how every Kansas backer should be today. Corbin, as someone who had +3 Kansas, I was in and out of a nap for basically the entirety of the second half, seeming the Jayhawks weren't putting up much of a fight. I thought the bet was toast just to wake up in overtime with Kansas scoring and saying to myself, what the hell just happened? I did with that last Arkansas drive. Let me just say it again. I am not one to be affected by bad beats. They're part of betting. Somehow this thing affected me last night. Like, I was so mad. And that last Arkansas drive, I'll get back to it. After the onside kick, after the fumble that was not a fumble and they gave the ball to Kansas, all that. Arkansas is like, what are you doing? You have all three of your timeouts. What am I watching? And I was so, Mr. and Mrs. Parlay were kind enough to invite Todd and me to dinner last night over at Amalfi at Caesars. And we walked over from Aria, and the whole time I'm getting it out because I'm like, I don't want to be rude at dinner. And Todd, as I'm doing it, Todd's like, you can listen to this, though. I have Oregon. I was like, I don't want to hear about your Oregon bet right now. Have a little gambling etiquette. Give me a moment. Anyway, we've all been there. I happened to be there last night. Eric Eager, ladies and gentlemen, from Sumer Sports, kind enough to hang out for a second segment. Sorry, Eric, in advance to subject you to all this Arkansas-Kansas stuff. But I know you were on it as well. Let me just ask you a question here about beyond now in week 17. Anything else that you like besides the one you've named, or is that all you're betting this week?
No, I do like Indianapolis getting six against the Giants. I think we all saw Nick Foles in the flesh the other day. And the Giants did put up a good fight against the Vikings, but I think these are two rosters that are like sort of similarly talented. And, you know, the difference between Nick Foles and Daniel Jones to me is not worth, home field advantage plus, the 4.5 points that this implies. So I do like the Colts in that one. This is going against my religion a little bit, but I do like the Chicago Bears getting 6.5 in the Motor City against the Detroit Lions. I think, it's gone a little bit too far. There was money on the Bears early in the week, and that has abated a little bit. People have been laying Detroit since. So, those are two that I really do like as well. And frankly, I do think the Houston Texans getting 4.5 in a game that doesn't mean that much to Jacksonville. The Texans have been a spunky team over the past few weeks, right? Taking Dallas to the wire, taking Kansas City to overtime, and then last week beating Tennessee. But yeah, I think this Texans team is good enough to garner a little bit more respect at home against the Jaguars team with nothing to play for.
Yeah, and of course, the squirrely thing about both of those games, Texans in a must-lose situation, right? Bears, they won't say it out loud, right? But incentivized to actually keep pace, if you will, if not overcome the Texans. It's never the players on the field. I'm not suggesting that. But you just wonder if lineup construction will be such that they won't maximize their chances of a victory. Anyway, just throwing out that element.
Yeah, I think with respect to the Bears, that has been the case all year, but they have been competitive in every game. So I think this is one. I do think Detroit wins this game. I hope they do. I have 4-1 for them to make the playoffs preseason and everything. So I certainly want Detroit to win this game. I think Chicago will keep it close and be annoying. I just think it ends up being, 3-5 point game as opposed to a blowout that, you basically, if you're laying Detroit here, you expect them to win by margin because the total here is 52-ish. And, you're basically looking for Detroit to have a 3-score lead so that, the Chicago Bears can't backdoor this.
What are you, so beyond this week, let's get into the business of what are you looking forward to in terms of a game to bet on? Obviously, we're not going to know every line, certainly not in the postseason yet, but what's the matchup? Is it the Jaguars-Titans AFC South de facto championship game next week? Is it a potential playoff game? Dallas at Tampa Bay. Somebody asked me, and forgive me, I forget who asked me on Twitter yesterday, what do you think the line for that game is going to be? And of course, I said, hey, look, I'm always anti-Buccaneers in terms of what I guess the line to be. Not anti, but I'm always, to me, undervaluing what the market seems to think about the Buccaneers. So my line is going to be higher on the Cowboys than most. What's the matchup? Maybe it's not those two that you're looking forward to the most.
Yeah, I mean, right now, when I look at the futures market, I really like Kansas City because I do think that there is a path where they avoid a lot of these great games. The path being specifically the Cincinnati Bengals beating Buffalo on Monday night, Chiefs winning out against a Broncos team with no head coach and a Raiders team with no quarterback. If that's the case, then these matchups that I really like in the playoffs are, the first round, you're going to get either, the 3-6 with Buffalo, Los Angeles Chargers, which will be two great quarterbacks and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. That's a game I'm looking forward to betting. The other game I'm looking forward to betting, and we'll get a preview of this, is Cincinnati versus Buffalo. I, again, as a Chiefs fan, I want this to happen, but I also think there's a very good chance it will, where you have the Chargers in the sixth spot. You have the Bengals in the three spot. You get that game first round. You get second round with Bills and Bengals, and then you get the winner of that game going to Kansas City for the fifth straight AFC title game that's been hosted by the Chiefs. Like, I think that would be really a fun playoff run. In the NFC, man, you know, when you think about like my hometown Vikings, you know, it's like, you know, their path is going to be really rough, but I could see a situation where Dak shows up in that 4 or 5 game, lays an egg as he's wont to do. Mm-hmm. Tampa somehow gets to that, you know, gets to that position where they're facing, either the Vikings and in the two seed, if there's another upset, again, that's like, to me, the only path where the Minnesota Vikings, being one of the weakest 12-3 teams in the history of the league, can actually make the NFC title game. It is really that 4 or 5 pivot in the NFC, and it's really the Monday Night Football game this week that I think will determine a lot of the seeding in the AFC.
So that, let me just clarify. So that 3-6 potential game between the Bengals and the Chargers, let's say it's Bengals -4. Let's just say that out. You know, we'll just throw out a number. You feel like the Bengals are by far the better football team. Is that what you're suggesting here? And you would lay the 4?
Yeah, I think right now the Bengals are the best team in the AFC, but I think it's in a way similar to the Chiefs last year, where they started out exactly 3-4, much like the Chiefs. They've had to win out, basically. Last year, the Chiefs won out until this week, and then they lost to the Bengals on the road. And then they had a really fun game against the Bills in the playoffs. And then when they faced the Bengals in the AFC title game, they ran out of gas. I think this Bengals team eventually is going to run out of gas. Right now, though, they're playing at their peak. I think if that game's hosted at Paul Brown and they're laying 4, I would take the Chargers. I just think that the Bengals would be running out of gas by then. But I also could see the Bengals getting the 2 seed. If they win out and Buffalo were to lose to them, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, then that puts Cincinnati in the 2 seed. There's also another scenario where the Bengals win this week and then they lose to the Ravens next week, and the Ravens win the AFC North, and the Bengals are going on the road in the playoffs. Jeez. So there's a lot of cool, musical chairs being played with not only great teams but great quarterbacks on that side of the ledger.
Before you go, we have about a minute left. Let me ask you, because you talked about the Vikings, but the Niners, they're the one team that I have futures on in the NFC. I had them the day that they decided to keep Garoppolo. I bet him NFC. I bet him Super Bowl. So I was convinced of the rest of their team being stacked, but I was counting for me, as long as Trey Lance was there, I was like, no, I'm not doing this. But as soon as they decided to keep Garoppolo, I'm like, okay, he'll see the field eventually. And now it's none of that, right? Now it's Purdy. It's Brock Purdy, and he has been every bit as effective as Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe even more so. Do you believe they are the Eagles' ultimate kryptonite in the NFC? Do you believe they are everyone's kryptonite in the NFL?
Yes, I think the Niners are the best team in the NFC right now going, especially with Hurts' injury. I think the world of the Eagles. But if you look at the standings, the way they're mapped out there, they could get the Giants in the first round of the playoffs, which would be probably the best draw of any of the division winners in the NFC. Other than the Eagles having a bye. So, yeah, I think the path for them is nice as well. Like, I think, you know, you go San Fran against the Giants, an old 90s rivalry, or 80s, 90s rivalry there. Then you get Minnesota, which is another easier game, even though it's on the road. And then you get Philadelphia with a banged-up quarterback, possibly. Like, I think that road is fairly straightforward for the Niners.
Eric, yes, no answer. Purdy, 6 games, enough to win Offensive Rookie of the Year or not?
No.
No. There it is. Eric Eager, Sumer Sports. Thank you, Eric. Great talking to you.
Gil, you're the best. Take care.
Eric Eager, everybody, from Sumer Sports, at Eric Eager _ on Twitter. Coming back with the NHL.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first touchdown score prop bet on any Monday or Thursday night pro football game. And if your bet loses, You'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. This offer is available all season long. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first touchdown in any Monday or Thursday pro football game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Elvis Toast Patterson. I'm hoping for a quick recovery for Kelly Bidlin. It's a bummer. No eggnog challenge. We'll do a Valentine's Day challenge, though, and have Kelly down a 5-pound chocolate heart in 50 minutes. I might be down for that.
Oh, good God. That sounds awful.
Jeff Staples. Why do these sharps not like teasing college games? I really like a FSU Cowboys 6-point teaser today. Well, the reason for that has to do with volatility of scoring more than anything. And you don't even have to really do the math to sort of think about these games. And by the way, same people will say don't tease at basketball games either. When scoring is more volatile, the value of each point is that much less. And so a sport like the NFL specifically, where scoring is more deliberate, more muted than, say, college football, the value of every point is that much greater, and so teasing makes that much more sense. That's sort of just the thumbnail explanation for that. But listen, am I going to tell you not to tease FSU today? I'm not going to tell you that. I'm on FSU. I got them in -7 a long time ago. It's higher than that, so I understand what you're saying. I'm not endorsing it, but I understand what you're saying. Blue Hen Bill. Arkansas is nothing, Gil. Wait till the night sweats start, knowing your playoff hopes rest with Carson Wentz. That's very true. We appreciate it. By the way, your pro tip for the hour. Do we have a pro tip for the hour? I think we should probably give a pro tip for the hour.
I like it.
Has to do with the bad beat that we were talking about earlier. I don't know if you heard me. Have I mentioned Arkansas bad beat today yet? Wyatt, has that come up on the show? Bad beats are part of betting, and you have to recognize that. It's the price of doing business. I always use that line on this. And here's the thing that we don't talk about enough, but Las Vegas Chris and I have talked about this. It is my belief, and I believe he agreed with me, that when you become good at this, bad beats will actually happen more against you than they will for you. And the reason for that is if you're good in handicapping, you will tend to win a higher percentage going away, then you will lose a higher percentage going away. So if that sort of range of outcomes shifts, the better you get in one direction, it makes sense that the bad beats are more likely to go against you than for you. That Arkansas one was pretty bad yesterday. I won't soon forget it. But remember, it's a price of doing business. And generally speaking, you won't hear me complain about them very often on this show. This is probably the first time I have in forever, now that I think about it. Price of doing business. Just know that. Just roll with it. Do your best. Sometimes they'll smart, like that one did yesterday, but you just got to move on. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour, at least 20 a day right here at VSiN. All searchable at VSiN.com for VSiN subscribers only. Let's talk some hockey. Want to do a hockey check-in? Let's do it. Jake Hahn joins us from Mayo Media to talk with us about the sport of hockey without a hat on, showing his hair today. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, Gil. I enjoyed your lead in there, and I do totally agree with you on what you said about teasers and the variance in terms of points. So you would never catch me teasing a college game, although if there was a college game I would tease, maybe it would be Syracuse today because you've got kind of a lower scoring game. Like those would be the college games I would actually entertain teasing, but
right.
For the most part, I just leave the teasers to the NFL, and we don't have teasers in hockey, although at the World Junior Hockey Championship that's going on right now, maybe they should implement teasers because you're seeing some 7.5, 8.5, 9.5. You see a 10.5 goal spread with the Canada-Austria game today as well.
Christy Andrews, my mishpucha, who I do guessing lines with, he runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook right behind me here in studio at the South Point. He used to do story times on my Beating the Book podcast for years, and he wrote a book called Then One Day, which is a lot of his old bookmaking stories, and one of them has to do with hockey teasers. So I'll just tease at that. Everybody who wants to get that story, buy Then One Day, one of Chrissy's now three books. Jake, great to see you. We're, still youngish in the hockey season, not super duper young, but we got a long way to go still. And just let me just ask you the first question for those who are who are not as into the sport as you are from a handicapping standpoint, if they're looking to make a futures bet right now, like, just give me the list of teams you think realistically can win the Stanley Cup.
I think the list is probably short in the Western Conference for me, Gil. I think in the Eastern Conference, you have maybe five or six teams. I really think that could go on a run when the playoffs start. In the West, I think that list is much shorter. I think it's probably something like two or three teams in the West. So when you add it all together, I think you've probably got about eight or nine teams that when the playoffs start, have a legit chance of winning the thing. If you're attacking it from a futures perspective, and look, this number isn't going to blow anybody away, and I'm not going to come out and give you a 50-1 or a 60-1. Although if you do want one of those prices, I do think there are a couple teams that could go on a run. I think now is the time, and if you shop around, you can get a pretty good number. I think now is the time you jump in on the Colorado Avalanche. The winners from last year, I understand it's very difficult to go back-to-back, but what I just said about the Western Conference and how weak it is this year compared to the East, Boston deserves to be the favorite right now. They win every single night. You've got teams like Carolina, Toronto, New Jersey, Tampa, Pittsburgh, all in the East. Those teams are going to beat each other up come playoff time, and there's no easy path to the Stanley Cup final in the Eastern Conference. Whereas in the West, Colorado starting to get healthier. They've done a great job treading water with so many injuries this year. Nathan MacKinnon looks like he's going to make a return soon. I think they're going to go on a second half tear, and you could find them as good as 7-1 out there. I think I've seen some even better numbers out there for the Colorado Avalanche. So I think now is the time. If you're okay betting up the board a little bit, the Colorado Avalanche are offering a much better price than they were coming into the season.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that too. You know, because when plus 550, always shop around, as Jake said, you could find a 7-1 out there on the Avalanche. There's a lot of too cool for school in sports gambling media sometimes too, where it's like, oh, well, you could have gotten this, and so now it's this. You get sometimes you can still find value in that, right? So that's what Jake is sort of saying about the Avalanche here. By the way, just I'm asking for a friend. Are one of those teams in the Eastern Conference that you think has a shot the Washington Capitals or no?
I'll have to say no on Washington. I just have to continue my firm stance that I think the Capitals are just too old to get it done at this point. But I have to give them massive credit for the run that they're on right now. You know, Alex Ovechkin was taking a lot of the oxygen with his chase to 800 and eventually his chase to pass Gordie Howe, as he should. It's a legendary achievement from Alex Ovechkin. But while that whole thing is going on, Washington's winning every single night. I'd honestly written them off with how competitive the Eastern Conference had been. So they're very legit, I think, to make the playoffs. I just feel like the East is way too strong,
yeah,
and the Capitals lack that high-end talent and the depth to go on a legit run. So they wouldn't be finding any of my futures cards anytime soon.
They've been old for years, too. Every year, yeah, that's the thing. They're old. Okay, before we get into your picks today, is there a medium tier or a long shot that you would recommend, or you just want to stick with the Avalanche?
I do like the Avs. I do think that they offer good value. If you're looking, you know, in that mid-range that you just referenced, Gil, I still do really like the Rangers. They haven't really moved from their preseason odds, and they had a rocky start to the season. Now they figured it out a little bit. I think come playoff time with the goaltender that they have in Igor Shesterkin, they're a team I wouldn't mind on the card. Like I said, the East is very, very difficult. And if you're looking for another Western Conference team, I do think the Minnesota Wild are really starting to figure it out and playing this tight game that could really be good come playoff time for them. So they would probably have to go through the Avs at some point, but for 22-25-1, I think Minnesota, considering that the Western Conference is pretty gettable, is offering a decent price as well.
All right, Jake, 11 games in the NHL. You got 90 seconds. What do you like tonight?
There's a couple sides I like. I'll mention, actually, that's funny, the two teams that I talked about in terms of that mid-range, the Rangers and the Wild. The Rangers are in Tampa tonight. The Lightning played last night. They'll most likely be going with Brian Elliott tonight, their backup goaltender. He's been winning games because they've been outscoring their problems when he's in there, but he has certainly not looked good. So if the matchup tonight is Igor Shesterkin versus Brian Elliott, I will take Igor Shesterkin at plus money in that matchup every single time. I never like to go against Tampa on home ice, but with Tampa playing the second half of a back-to-back and that being the goaltending matchup, I think any sort of plus money on the Rangers makes a lot of sense. I do like Minnesota as a very short favorite on home ice. Like I said, they've been playing much better the last couple of weeks, and you're getting them as a short favorite against Dallas, who I believe is a good team. I think it's going to be one of the best matchups of the night tonight, but I think that's a very fair price for Minnesota. I would price them up as a little bit of a bigger favorite. A couple totals I like as well, Gil. I like the over in the Ottawa-Washington game and the over in the Toronto-Arizona game. If you're targeting shot props tonight, look towards the Buffalo Sabres and Detroit Red Wings. Dylan Larkin, David Perron on the side of Detroit. You can look to guys like Tage Thompson, Alex Tuck on the side of the Buffalo Sabres.
All right, five hockey wagers. Wyatt, we'll have them in the newsletter? Yes? Yes.
Get that as quick as I can.
VSiN.com/newsletter. Two sides and three totals for Jay Kahn. You can check out Jake, of course, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on Sirius XM, and, Sirius XM, I should say, NHL, at Jay Hahn. That's H-A-H-N 4, the number 4, on Twitter. Jay, great seeing you. Thank you so much, man.
Great to see you as well, Gil. Happy holidays to everybody.
You too. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Coming back, we'll check in with Bill Krakenberger, Dr. Bob on college football, Todd Wishnev in the studio. It's the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.